We provide this sword up on the screen for you. Amen. Glory to God. We don't want anybody, amen, not to be able to follow along. That's Matthew 16, beginning at verse 13. Glory to God. Amen. We're looking forward to, as you know, about the bowling match, the men's with Mount Zion Church. Amen. But everybody, we're going to have a family bowling night, so everybody going to have time to get your bowl on. Amen. We're going to let you know about those future dates. Amen. Your sisters can bowl, so I think we just need a little bit more practice, the brothers, so y'all don't wipe us out completely. Amen. Amen. I hear we have, who's Sister Deidre, you bowl? Who's some of the sisters that bowl in here? Monique, amen. Oh, okay, yeah, oh boy. Yeah, brethren, we got to watch as well as pray. Amen. Glory to God. But just one of many things that we plan to do. But I want to speak to our hearts in Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. Somebody read that verse for me. Stand up and read verse 13 for me, please. Thank you, sister. Amen. These disciples had been walking with Jesus for about 2.5 years at this point. And Jesus, the Bible says, and reading it again, amen. It's something about reading the Word of God. You can't read it enough, amen. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And the more we read, and the more we study, and the more we stay in the Word of God, that God continues to open up our understanding, give us wisdom, give us discernment, amen. And when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And that's very interesting, amen, that Jesus asked them that, because the disciples had been with Jesus for many days. They had heard many sermons, seen many miracles. They ate with the Master. They slept with the Master. They communed with him intimately. But then there was a testing time when Jesus would ask his disciples, he said to them, he said, first of all, he asked, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And verse 14 says, "And they said, some say," somebody say, "some say." And them sums are still saying today. Amen. "And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist. Some Elias, and other Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He said, some people are saying, Lord, that they heard about your miracles and they know about your teaching. And some consider you a great teacher, a great rabbi. Some see you as a great prophet. They see you as Elijah, who maybe have come back, or Jeremiah. But even now, there are many people who know of Christ, but they don't know him intimately. We don't want to be that group of people that knows of the Lord or thinks he's a teacher or just a prophet, but we need to know him more intimately than the some say. But Jesus takes it further because he knows where he's going. Amen. And verse 15 says, "He saith unto them," and he cuts to the heart of the matter, "But whom say ye that I am?" Whom say ye that I am? I know about the some say. I know about those who are on the peripheral. I know about those who think I'm this or that. But I want to know, who do you, or what do you say that I am? And the Bible says in verse 16, "And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Let me read. Verse 17 says, "And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." Powerful. He said, "Blessed art thou, Simon," amen, "but flesh and blood did not reveal this unto you, but my Father which is in heaven." Amen. Think about this. When we spend time with God, as I said, they were with him in ministry for over 2 years. They communed with him. They studied under him, and they watched him, and they prayed with him, and they got to know the heart of the master. And it was because that they spent that time with God that it God revealed, amen, to Simon who Christ was. Let me say it this way. The more and more we spend time with the Lord, the more and more we stay in his presence, the more and more we imbib his word, the more and more we eat and we just fellowship and we drink of him, the more and more that God will open up the windows of heaven and reveal to us his son, Jesus Christ. The more and more we have that intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, the more we seek his face, the more we labor for him, the more that we stay in the word, that God will give us the understanding of who he is in our lives. The problem is many people know of him. Many people have their opinions about him, but only those who really get to know him, spend time with him, who really have a desire to seek his face. The Bible said, he that hungers and thirsts after righteousness shall be filled. So if I'm hungering after God, if I'm thirsting after God, if I have a heart and a desire to seek his face, then it's something about the presence of God that's going to show up and manifest in my life. All because I want to know who he is. There are many people that look at him as a great teacher, a philosopher. They see him as a great prophet. But only those who really spend time with him, for those who really commune with him, for those who really have sold out to themselves and have surrendered themselves to Jesus Christ, and they say, Lord, I will follow you. I will take up my cross daily and follow after you. Lord, I will do your will. It's those that the Father will bless and enlighten and speak to their hearts and minds. It's something about when we have that passion and that desire for the things of God. Let's move on. And it says here, so flesh and blood have not revealed this unto you, Simon. In other words, you didn't get this of your own human reasoning. You didn't get this because of the PhD that you have on a wall, and thank God for the PhD that you may have. You didn't get this for all the theology schools that you may have gone to, and most of them are good, and there's nothing wrong with that. You didn't get this because of some book that you read, or because you were so smart or so intelligent, or you were so gifted. You didn't get this from human wisdom or understanding. This thing was given by revelation of God. And a lot of times, that's the problem with the church today. Amen. We're operating without a full revelation and understanding who Jesus is. Help me, Lord. Amen. We're going through the rituals. We're going through the religious facades. And we're doing all of those things. We know him as a teacher. We know him as a prophet. We know that he was great in historical terms. And we know these things. But do you know him as the Christ? What does it mean that he wasn't just a teacher or a philosopher or a prophet, but he was the Son of the living God? He was Emmanuel, God in the flesh. He was the Christ, the anointed, the Bible says, the Christos, the Messiah. He was everything that was prophesied of old that would come to pass. He came into the world for this very purpose, that men and women would not be lost. So the question we have to pose within ourselves, and the question that he posed to his disciples, and all of them were thinking, but Peter, he was the forefront, amen. But the question is, who is Christ to you? Who is Christ to me? And we've got to be honest with ourselves, and we've got to seek God and say, Lord, I'm hungry for you. Lord, do I just see you as a great teacher? Do I just come to church and say, man, that was a good word? But do you have an intimate relationship with God? I come to church and I want to hear a great song. We'll fill a church up for concerts. We'll fill a church up for chicken dinners. We'll fill the church up for all of these things. And they have its place. Don't get me wrong. Amen. But are we hungry for the word? Are we hungry for God? To get to know the heart of God, to get to know the passion of God. Are we hungry? Say, Lord, fill me. Fill my cup overflowing. Lord, I want to know of you, and I want to know more about you. Lord, I want to spend time with you. I want to fellowship with you. I want to get in your word, and I want you to reveal your word to me. Reveal who you are to me. After all, it was Moses that said, Lord, show me your glory. Lord, reveal to me your glory. And that should be our passion today. Lord, reveal your glory. Lord, help me to understand. Help me to see. Help me, Lord, not to be blind in my own intellect, not to be blind in my own arrogance, to be blind in my own pride, to be blind in my own thinking and selfish ways. But God, help me, oh, help my heart to receive the pure and engrafted word of God that is able to save my soul. So he said, this was my Father, verse 17, which is in heaven, who hath revealed this unto you. And listen to this. If you seek the face of God, he that come to God must believe that he is. And he's a rewarder of what? Those who what? Diligently seek him. So if you're hungry for God, amen, if you're looking for God, amen, if you come to him with an expectancy, he is not going to send you away not satisfied. So I don't know about you, but when I fellowship and when I come to church and when I'm in my prayer closet or when I'm reading, amen, I want to have a relationship and a fellowship that when I get up, I can say, Lord, thank you, I'm full. Lord, thank you for your presence. Lord, thank you for your comfort. Lord, thank you for your assurance. All hell may be breaking loose in my house. All hell may be breaking loose on my job. All hell may be breaking loose on the economy. But because I know him, because I'm hallelujah, fellowship with him, that no matter what's going on around me, I've got the peace of God because I know who he is. And because I know who he is, I know that he's going to fight my battle. Because I know who he is, I know that I don't have to worry about this court case because there's no lawyer like the Lord. I know the doctor said I've got this condition, amen, but I'm going to believe that God is able to heal my body because I have a relationship with him because I know who he is. I know he is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He is God in the flesh. He is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all I could ask or think according to his power that's on the inside of me. So I begin to walk different. I begin to speak different. I begin to look at things differently. All because of God that's in me. No, it's not in pride. No, it's not in arrogance. But it's in confidence. Confidence not in the flesh. Confidence not in me. Confidence not in man. But my confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. And because he's shown me over and over and over the faithfulness of God, and because he's shown me that he'll never leave me, never forsake me, he said, I'll be with you until the end of all time. So no matter what trials, no matter what tests, no matter what storm, no matter what persecution, I can walk with my head up and I can decree and declare what God says in his word. That's the importance of knowing who he is. That's got to be settled. Don't fool yourself. Be not deceived, the Bible said. God is not mocked. Whatever a man soweth, that he shall reap. Amen. And I don't know about you, amen, but I don't want to sow. I don't want to reap of my flesh. I don't want to reap from ignorance. I don't want to reap from not knowing in fullness who God is in my life. But listen, but if I do it the way God says do it, amen, I'm going to reap a harvest. It's going to be bountiful. It's going to be overflowing. It's going to be superfluous. It's going to be everything that I need. All because I have a relationship with him. So it was important he asked his disciples, whom do men? And then after that, he said, whom do you say? He had to make a distinction. There are always going to be those on the peripheral. There are always going to be on the outskirts, those who never really come in fully and understand who Christ is. For whatever reason, they love God, but they won't serve God. That's what they say. Everybody can say, I'm a Christian. But when you're really a Christian, it means to be Christ-like. When you call yourself a disciple, it means to be a follower, a disciplined follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, I'm going to begin to walk like him. I'm going to be able to speak like him. Or they're going to call you crazy, but that's okay. But I'm going to confess and declare decree the word of God, and I'm going to begin to speak in faith, even though I don't understand it, even though I don't see it in the natural, for I know I walk by faith and not by sight. Whether I understand what I'm seeing or not, I'm going to decree what God has said in his word. And if God said that I'm coming out, if God is going to fight my battle, if God said he'll never leave me or forsake me, if God said he'll provide my needs according to his riches and glory, if God said I will bless you, I will bless your seed, then it's not for me to understand in my natural mind through flesh and blood, but because I have a relationship with him, I can call on him and I can expect an answer. He might not come when I want him, he might not come like I think, but I can go to sleep at night knowing that God will hear my prayer. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Ghost. So you got to know who Christ is. You got to have a relationship with him. Thank you, Jesus. Then he goes in verse 18, and he says, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter." You think about Simon, it means a reed. But Peter means a stone, a rock, a more of a pebble. Amen. But he said, "Thou art Peter, and I'm going to affirm who you are in the faith." God will declare who we are. When we have that relationship, when we have that communion, God will declare who you are. He says that thou art Peter, and then he says, upon this rock, he says to Peter, I will build my church. I'm about to get in some trouble here. Amen. I'm glad y'all was clapping a second ago. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And I also say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock. Now let me say this. Peter, amen, it's the Greek word, those you study, amen, means Petros, means little stone, amen. He wasn't so much building upon a man, but he was building upon the revelation of Jesus Christ, of the truth of which God had declared and spoken through you, man of God. God used you. He used that flesh, but it's really Jesus is the rock. Amen. So he said, upon this rock, which is Jesus Christ, I will build my church. Now, let me say this. Many of the problems that we have is we got folk who are building the church. That's not what it said. He said, Jesus said, I will build my church. Now, I understand that God will use us, will use our hands and our feet, and we, amen, will work, amen, and build what God wants us to build. But the problem is we got it twisted. Many of us are building our own cathedrals, and we're building our own ideas and our own philosophies of what church. No, Jesus said, I will build my church. We got to go with his plan. Now, if I'm going to lay some bricks, it's going to be based on a blueprint that he drew up. If I'm going to put in some wires, I may do it, but it's the diagram that he laid out. The problem is many of us, we're drawing up our own blueprints. We're drawing up our own diagrams. We're drawing up our own ideas, and we want to say we're building God's house. God said, you ain't building my house. Matter of fact, the image of this house is an image of you. But when we build God's house, it should be an image of him. And that's how we get into a lot of the trouble that we get to today, amen, is that we got a lot of churches. Amen. Let me also say this. The church is not the material building. The church is not the bricks and the mortar and all of those things. And amen, we thank God for edifices and buildings and so on. Thank God. But guess what? The church is people. Look to your neighbor and say, the church is you. And think about this. We're so busy, and we've got to be careful. Amen. It's nothing wrong. We've got our Nehemiah building project, and we're trying to save money because, amen, we want to be able to own some land. You want to be able to purchase. That's wise stewardship. That's good. Amen. But we've got to be so careful that we're not trying to build in bricks and mortar when we should be building people. When we build people, the material will come. When we invest into the hearts of people, guess what? People will come. And guess what? And God will make provision with the bricks and the mortar. We got it twisted. We're trying to build in these things, but we're not investing in the lives of people. So we've got to think about this. We've got to back up just a little bit. Sometimes we get off course, and we've got to get back to the plumb line of God's word. He says, listen, and I will build my church, his people. And let me go a little further. He says, for thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, let me say this. We have an image, and it's not an incorrect image, but we have an image that when we read this, that the church is like a castle, and it's got its gates, and it's this fortress. And that's a true application, but not necessarily here in this scripture. Let's read this closely again. He says here, listen, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell. Hell is where the gates are. Hell is the fortified city. Hell is the stronghold. Hell is the place where all that territory that Satan took. The church is about to be established. Hell is already in place. So what the Lord is saying, he says, I'm going to build my church, which is going to come against the fortress and take back the territory that Satan has taken. And Satan can't stop me. He said, the gates that are around hell are coming down. Those that are captive, he said, those bondages, those strongholds, the kingdom of heaven, the Bible said, suffered violent, but the violent take it by force. Guess what? We will excel. Isn't it? Even in the Bible, we read about the 12 spies, and Moses sent them out. And he said, go spy out the land of Canaan. And they came back, majority of them, with a negative report. And they said, we can't take this city, for there are giants in this city, the sons of Anak, and we are as grasshoppers in their sight. This was great fortified cities, fortified walls and gates. But two came back, even though the others came back with a negative report. Joshua and Caleb came back and said, we can take this city because you've promised it, because God has promised. The others came back with a negative report. Oh, we can't take this city. There are giants in this city. They're bigger than us. They're stronger than us. They're fortified. There's fortresses. There's iron gates. But two came back, hallelujah, Joshua and Caleb. And they said, we're more than able because God has already given it to us. So the others brought back an evil report. But this man, hallelujah, these men had another spirit, hallelujah. And they said that we can do it because God, your promise. And that's what God is saying now. The kingdom of heaven, hallelujah, is going to assault the kingdom of darkness, and we will prevail. I don't care what it looks like, but we're going to take back the territory that the devil has taken. He's taken too many homes. He's messed up too many families. He's broken up too many marriages, but we're coming in the name of Jesus. And Jesus is saying, I'm raising up a church. I'm creating an army of generals and soldiers. I'm coming with a fortress, a fortified troop, and we're coming against the kingdom of darkness, and we're coming against the gates of hell, and we're going to knock the gates of hell down, and we're going to free, hallelujah, everybody that's in bondage. Hallelujah. And the gates of hell, death can't keep us back. Demons can't keep us back. Witch doctors can't keep us back. Voodoo and this do and that do can't keep us back. Because greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So when I go out to battle, we've got to say in the name of Jesus that we're going in the name of the Lord. And God has commissioned us. And God has called us. And God has raised us up. And he said, I want you to go to the hedges and the highways. And I want you to compel men and women to be saved. I know the territory, but don't worry about the territory, because I'm with you. That when you step on the scene, demons will tremble at the sound of the name. There's something about the name of Jesus, the power and the authority in the name of Jesus. You're not coming in your own strength, you're not coming in your own might, but you're coming in the power of the Lord. You're coming in the strength of the Most High God. So when you step on the scene, guess what? Demons got to flee in the name of Jesus. Strongholds will be broken in the name of Jesus. Chains will be loose in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. No matter what Satan does, that God has already promised us the victory. Listen, we saying I'm trying to get the victory. No, you already have the victory. What God needs for you to do is to possess the land. We're looking for the victory. No, the victory has already been provided 2,000 years ago when Jesus shed his blood and he said, Tetelestai, it is finished. So if it's finished, then all I got to do is come in the name of Jesus and kick the gates open. And guess what? The devil can't stop me. But one of the lies is that we don't realize the authority and the power and the access that we already have in Jesus Christ. We've already been elevated into heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We've got to possess the land. Let me say this. Thank you, Holy Ghost. Many times, the first strongholds that have to be in a territory that has to come down is within us. We have to take back the territory. And what do you mean, preacher? Some of us, we're occupied by the spirit of fear. Fear is a spirit, a tormenting spirit, spirit of depression, spirits of anxiety, spirits of low esteem. This didn't come from God. And if God has already given us the victory, why are these things ruling us? We're supposed to be spirit-filled, Holy Ghost-filled, fire baptized, but we're bound. It's not because the victory hasn't been provided, but we need to know the truth of the Word of God. Jesus said, "Ye shall know the truth." And the truth shall what? Shall set you free. So once we know the truth, and once we understand what God has already said, and the provision that's already been provided, then we wake up and say, wait a minute. Why am I trapped when I've been given the access and the authority to bust out of this place? You know why? Because we've been conditioned to believe a lie rather than understand and believe what God's word has said. Because if God has freed me, then I'm free indeed. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. So if I'm a child of God and you're a child of God, then there's nothing that legally has a right to hold you down. The difference is, when you evict somebody, they say, I won't go. But when you draw up the papers and you go to the courthouse and the papers are stamped and the deputy arrives, they can talk that talk. But there's an authority which is backed up by a power that even though they may not like it, they may call you all kind of names. They may fight and go screaming and kicking, but they got to go. Jesus paid the price. The authority, the papers have been stamped. And through the power of the Holy Ghost, he said, ye shall receive what? Power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So we have the authority, and it gets down even to the keys, and I'm about done. We don't even understand the keys, the authority that we have as believers. It's basic, but you can't use any key to open up any lock. Every key has a specific lock that it can open. You can have 100 keys, but only one key will open up a specific lock. And God has given us every key, has given us every precious promise. But we've got to understand how to use them and the wisdom to employ them. And what key for what job and task. And not only does keys open, but they lock. They can loose. They can let you out. Or they can keep something locked in. You can shut out that devil in the name of Jesus. I bind your power, your influence. I come against every stratagem and tactic and weapon of the enemy. Amen. And you can say, in the name of Jesus, I command you, devil, to go from this place. And that's why you get back to the very beginning. You got to know who Jesus is to have access to that authority. Because a lot of people, they don't have the authority. They come and I got the keys, but there's no power on the inside. You can say Jesus all you want. There's no anointing on the inside. The devils know who Jesus is. The devils believe scripture. When you say in Jesus' name, you're just not evoking a name per se, but you're evoking the authority that's behind the name. There were many Jesuses of that day, but this Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, had an anointing and an authority that even in the supernatural realm, demons recognized, and they had to submit. They had to obey because of the power that is in the name. So I just don't want to know of him, but I need to know him. I need to have an intimate relationship. And guess what? You can only have that true understanding of who Jesus is by staying in the presence of God. And the Spirit of God will show you and open up. You've got people who are gifted, very intelligent, but they don't understand. They have a mental assent, but in their hearts has been locked. Because they have not surrendered fully to follow Jesus. Everyone standing. Psalm 24, 24th division of Psalm. Verse 3 says, who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. These that understand this, the Bible says, this is the generation of them that what? Seek him. That seek thy face, O Jacob. Selah. He says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. He wants to come in. He wants to sup with us. He wants to fellowship with us. He wants us to get to know him. And he says, and the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Even lift them up, ye everlasting doors. And the King of glory shall come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. My God, why would you not want to serve like this? An awesome God, a loving God who cares about us. He said, with loving kindness have I drawn you. Oh, he said, come, let us reason together. Your sin be as scarlet, yet shall they be white as snow. Lest, he said, I didn't send my son into the world to condemn the world, but the world through him would not be lost. It's the love of God. Thank you, Holy Ghost. God has given us the keys. He has already given us the keys. We're looking around for the keys. You already got the keys. You've crossed over from darkness into light. You've crossed over from death unto life. You are the sons and the daughters of God. You have access to the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You, all you got to do is open your mouth and declare and speak the word, because you know who Jesus is. You are in the name of Jesus. You don't just know of him. You know him intimately. He speaks to you. Many times in a still, small voice. He speaks to you in his word. He speaks to you while you're driving down the highway. He speaks to you and he says, it's going to be all right. He knows how to calm our nerves. He says, rest in me. Peace I leave thee, not as the world. He knows what you're going through. He knows the stress. He knows the trial. But guess what? He said, hang in there. We endure for tonight. But your breakthrough, your joy, your victory has already been provided. You just got to wait. The sun is coming up. And you're just going to walk in that thing. You're already blessed. You're already blessed. You're already blessed. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you right now in the name of Jesus. Everyone that's under the sound of my voice.